Hello and welcome to today's podcast. We're going to be covering Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The first word there is therefore, so we want to go back and see what it's there for. The previous passage, we see that God's wrath for sin is revealed and that sin is worthy of death, and therefore, no matter who you are, there is no partiality with God concerning race or heritage, wealth or education. So take heed, for we are all in danger of judgment, because we are all sinners. So in the broader context of things, let's figure out Paul's intent here. He's writing to Rome, where there are Gentile and Jewish believers. The Jewish believers were exiled for some time. Now they're back. There seems to be some tensions and struggles assimilating back together as a church family. And also, we know clearly that Paul desires to preach the gospel boldly. And I believe, hopes or knows, that unbelievers will hear the preaching of the gospel in Rome and throughout the world as years pass by. I believe he begins to address the Jewish crowd now in chapter 2, and we'll see this clearly as we continue in chapter 2. He also does something for us to note, which happens throughout Romans. Have you ever been talking to someone who constantly tries to finish your sentence or say what you are thinking? You might look at someone and say, "Boy, I think your sweater is awful." And before you can finish your sentence, they get offended and cut you off when you were actually about to say, "I think your sweater is awfully nice." See, Paul does this in Romans, but he does it oh so well. Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. Is there injustice with God? No. He brings up these questions in the reader's minds and he answers them graciously and well. Here we finish reading the rejection of general revelation by mankind and the descent into godless living, and we can be quick to judge, just as the Israelites reading this letter. But what Paul does is masterful. He says, "We have no excuse. All men are without excuse. You have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment." If we finish last week's sermon thinking that we are better, judging the less godly, or rejoicing in our righteousness, then we've missed the point. We have no excuse, everyone who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. In your judgment, you're actually condemning yourself. Why? For you who judge practice the same things. The main second point, or the second main point in this passage is God's judgment is right, verse 2. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. So we condemn ourselves for the truth which we already know, that God judges rightfully and justly those who practice sin. Point number 3, God's judgment is inescapable. Verse 3 it says, "But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things, and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? You, by your thoughts and actions, falsely suppose or assume something about God, that we, in and of ourselves, or who we are, can escape the judgment of our sin. And this simply is not so." Point 4. God's love doesn't erase his judgment. "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" The gospel is what saves you from the judgment which you deserve. And God richly gives his kindness and tolerance of your foolishness and patience towards your sinfulness, showing his kindness leading to repentance. Point 5 is that continuance in rebellion to God leads to greater condemnation. This is found in verse 5. "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." So you, by being unrepentant and judgmental of those who are guilty of the very same things you are guilty of, will face judgment. Point 6 is God's judgment is based on deeds. "Who will render to each person according to his deeds." Verse 6. So this judgment will be according to your deeds, not your neighbor's, because surely you're better than your neighbor, right? Nor on your parents, because they were like saints. No, you're judged according to you. So often you'll hear people say, "Well, I come from a good family," or, "My parents were good, and I'm good, and our whole family is good." No, we are all sinners deserving of God's judgment, and that judgment comes based upon what you do, and each one of us is sinful, and because we are sinful, we sin. Verse 7 says, "To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." So this is not teaching a works-based salvation. No, I believe it's teaching this, that God's kindness and tolerance and patience is shown through the gospel, and it is our salvation and righteousness, but clearly there's a changed life as a result, evidenced by perseverance in doing good and seeking those things which are above. So, we're seeking God's glory and his shared glory with believers in heaven to reflect and glorify him more. The honor, being able to hear God say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and immortality, of course, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Verse 8 says, though, on the contrast, "But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Verse 10, "But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So we have this declaration of condemnation, but then also this declaration of hope on the flip side. "Just as anyone who continues in their sin will be judged, no matter their background, anyone who turns to that which is good, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is saved." In verse 11 it says this, "For there is no partiality with God, because God does not show preferential treatment based off of us. We are all deserving of hell, and will face judgment, unless there is a repentance and a turning to the gospel of God, receiving the righteousness of Christ by faith through God's grace, and therefore salvation is completely of God's grace. Therefore, do not judge thinking you are something special. Preach the gospel in love, and do not be ashamed of it, because it is for all." Because this is long and we covered a lot fast, we'll just remind us of the main points. All are without excuse. Verse 1, God's judgment is right. Verse 2, God's judgment is inescapable. Verse 3, God's love does not erase his judgment. Verse 4, continuance in rebellion to God leads to greater condemnation. Verse 5, God's judgment is based on deeds. Verses 6 through the end of the chapter, or the end of this section, verse 11. And also, there is no partiality with God. Verse 11. Have a great day.